Well, listen, Buzzy and I are thrilled to be with you. Thrilled we're here. All our gear is in a U-Haul truck hidden over behind the cow. But this is a good week for the Lord to come. From our point of view, the Philistines will have a hard time finding it. And, that's terrific. We're just delighted. Just delighted. Thanks for coming. Thank you so much. It's just great. We got to be down the gate this afternoon and greet everybody coming through. Golly, just to see your faces and the joy and the bags over your eyes and all the rest. Just tremendous. We're thrilled you're here. What I would like to do is take a few moments, gang, and share some of the objectives of the conference. There's some in your letter of welcome, but I want to emphasize a few. Stress them. So they'll be perhaps a little more firmly fixed in our minds as we start the week. And it's something you can pray about in your groups and in your time alone with the Lord. And I've jotted down four of them. There are more, but there are four that seem to me to be tremendously important. The first objective is unity. Unity. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Not just a superficial unity. Not an organizational unity, but a genuine unity in the person of Jesus Christ. A unity that comes from men and women walking in fellowship with Him, as Lauren mentioned, walking in the light, being relaxed. Unity will come from fellowship, talking with one another. Talk a lot. You'll do that, I know. Come on time to the meeting. Then they that feared the Lord spake often. One to another. That's what the scripture says. Malachi 3:16. They who fear the Lord spoke often one to another. Talk to people. Open up your life. Share your heart. And then prayer together. These are going to be great times. And as we meet, and the fellows have done a great job, not only getting prayer requests from NAV missionaries around the world, but I think some 20 other missionary organizations have written in and shared prayer requests. And so we'll be lifting before the Lord needs of other men and women in the body of Christ around the world. And as we pray together, the Spirit of God will draw our hearts together. And then these table assignments. Just find your name and sit down next to somebody you've never met before and start talking. And the Spirit of God, through prayer, through time in the Word, through fellowship, through talking, is going to really draw our hearts together. For His honor. One of the reasons for having a 9-day conference, and I know some people, their initial reaction, 9 days, They saw that thing June 1 to 11 and hit the panic button, boom, and then they came back down and got back in fellowship with the Lord and gave thanks. But one of the reasons for having a long conference with lots of free time is to be with people. So let the Spirit of God draw our hearts together. Now the second objective is encouragement. We're going to hear from Dr. Howard Hendricks. Jack will be introducing Howie tomorrow morning. And we need to be encouraged. And Howie is a great man. Howard Hendricks will eliminate for time and eternity any lingering doubt that you might have that a man can be a theologian and a comedian at the same time. Just great. Help us as husbands, as wives, as parents. He'll be an encouragement to the single men and women. Just how to play the game for the long haul. How to go strong year after year. Not kind of burn out and be a gutted hulk hanging over a barbed wire fence. Early in the game. And we're going to be encouraged by Howie's ministry. Is that a no good, sir? Am I fired, Jerry? Okay. Unity, encouragement. The third key word that's on my heart, gang, is godliness. holiness. It seems to me today that contemporary Christianity in many sectors is shot through with gimmick godliness, counterfeit godliness, shortcuts which avoid taking up the cross daily. And we're going to be hearing from a man of God this week, Doug Sparks. And a couple of years ago, Bob Lewis and I were privileged to sit in on Doug's staff conference in Germany for Emma, and to be deeply moved and challenged by this man of God sharing the Word of God on how God views you and me and His desire that we should be holy men and women. You know, we read, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," and somehow or other that frightens us and we just jump by it and we want to get into something that's a little more practical. And there isn't anything in the world more practical than godliness. And this week we'll have an opportunity to reaffirm our own personal commitment to godliness. And then the fourth objective is missions. Hearing from Doug, who's the division director of Emma, getting personal time with him. And so many of our gang are home on furlough. I don't know how many missionary families are here, 12 or 15 missionary families. And we've got 6 or 8 or 10 missionary reports built into the program this week. And we'll be hearing from our overseas people. And that's going to be great. Tomorrow night, Scotty's going to give us a report on his ministry with the World Evangelical Fellowship. Scotty will be leaving in the middle of the week on another trip overseas. And so we've asked him to come tomorrow night and tell us about his ministry and missions. And then these prayer groups and requests from other organizations as well as the NAVs. Missions, still on God's heart. The commission hasn't changed. It's every nation. And that's one of the objectives of this conference, to rekindle our own commitment to the whole world. Missions. Those are the objectives, not all of them, but those are four of the most important. Unity, encouragement, a recommitment to godliness, missions. That's what the Lord's going to do in our midst this week. And when we leave a week from Wednesday morning, Lord willing, the Spirit of God will have touched us in these areas and other areas, brought that to pass in our lives. Now what I'd like to do for a few moments before we break up and get down to that good fellowship they've got for us in the King James is to answer the question, how may I prepare myself for this conference? How can I prepare myself tonight? What are some of the things that I can do? What are some of the things that I can pray for and trust God for? And I'm going to suggest 3 prayer requests. 3 things, and at the close of the session, what we're going to do is pray, and together, we're going to ask God to do this. 3 things that will better prepare you and me for the next 10 days. 3 requests. You know, Jesus said in John 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And what we're going to do in a few moments is ask 3 things in Jesus' name, and He's going to do it. And I'll tell you what they are, and then I want to comment on each one of them. 3 requests, so you'll know where we are, and you can kind of time yourself and get ready to get up and head for the back door and get to the snack bar before the greedy people, whatever. 3 requests. First of all, a forgiving spirit. A forgiving spirit. The second is a load-lifting spirit. Load-lifting. And the third one is a joyful spirit. A joyful spirit. 3 requests. 3 areas in which you and I can ask the Lord to do a real job in our lives, a real work in our hearts, to prepare us, to better prepare us for all that we're going to receive this week from Dr. Hendricks, from Doug, from Lauren, from others who will be sharing. First of all, a forgiving spirit. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, please. You and I are involved in spiritual warfare. Some time ago, I memorized verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church, writing to the Christians in Corinth, says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." And recently I began thinking about that passage of Scripture, wondering whether or not Satan was taking advantage of me, and I was forced, in the nature of the case, to read the context. And the context has to do with a forgiving spirit. In verse 10, Paul says, "I have forgiven," in the New American Standard. "I have forgiven in order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan." An unforgiving spirit is an open door to the devil. And Paul says in Ephesians 4, "Do not give place to the devil." Do not give Satan an open door into your life. And so one of the things that we need to do is ask the question, is there someone that I need to forgive? Did I come to the conference with an unforgiving spirit? Am I going to open the door to the enemy in my life? Well, who's hurt you recently? Did your husband hurt you? Did your wife hurt you? How about your son? Has your son hurt you? Has your daughter hurt you? Your mom hurt you? Your dad? How about another navigator? I was thinking a couple of years ago, one of the fellows was sitting out in the lawn there reading the Bible, and one of the other men on staff walked by and said, "How's it going?" And this staff member looked up and said, "Why is it that the psalmist always refers to the NAV leadership as enemies?" You been hurt by a navigator? Neighbor, church member?
I don't know.
Paul says, "I forgive. I forgive. Lest Satan get an advantage in our lives." What does forgiveness mean, gang? Well, two things. It means reconciliation. It means forgetting. It means reaffirming your love. It says in verse 8, "Reaffirm your love to him." Go to the person who's hurt you and say, "I love you. I love you." Communicate love. In Luke chapter 15, the father of the prodigal meant embracing, it meant giving him a ring, putting sandals on his feet, giving him a robe. Reconciliation is active. Reconciliation is giving. Reconciliation means taking initiative, going. Reaffirming love and giving. restoring the fellowship. That means forgetting. Isaiah 43:25. I will forget. I will not remember thy sins. Boy, what a comfort, huh? What encouragement. Whatever else the judgment seat of Christ is, God has said, I will not remember your sins. Years ago, when Buzzy and I were serving in Latin America, there were a couple little gals in Costa Rica who had a big, giant falling out. And we tried to get them together and tried to bring them together, and one of them finally said, okay, I'll forgive her, but I'll never forget. Some of us have come to this conference with some memories we need to get rid of. I will not remember. Forgiveness means reconciliation, restoring the fellowship, taking the initiative, communicating love. It means forgetting. And if you're having trouble with your memory, ask the Lord to do some erasing. Ask the Spirit of God to erase. To wipe it out. Forgiveness means reconciliation. Forgetting. Lest Satan get an advantage of us. We open the door. And we go through the conference. Burdened. Struggling. Having given the enemy a place in our lives. Who's hurt you? Forgive him. Forgive him. Let's trust God for a forgiving spirit. Then the second thing is a load-lifting spirit. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. And you know, I got to thinking about this conference and I wondered, well, opening night. We're all there in wonderful singing fellowship. The big smile on the face. But how many burdens are here tonight? How many burdens? Represented. Just in this gang. Just this group of men and women. I don't know. Physical needs. George mentioned some of our staff. Suffering. Tremendous illness. Children who are sick, loved ones who are sick. Financial pressures. You don't even want to go to the conference office this week because you're afraid they're going to ask whether or not you've covered the ticket. You're going to have to date the check next August. Emotional pressures. Or you just plain feel spiritually dry. The well is empty. Communications problem. Let me read you a letter I got this week from Bob Vedano. We had great fellowship last month over in England, and Bob, what he did, he gave this to a fellow who was getting on a plane in Beirut last week because it had a U.S. stamp on it. It was mailed in Washington, D.C. And, Dear Skip, just a note to let you know what a joy it was to fellowship with you in England. We're back in the saddle in Jordan, hitting the language. I'm writing to let you know about a communications problem that exists in Beirut. The enclosed clipping from our daily paper will give details. 15 million pieces of undelivered mail. And who knows what else. This is why we have not received anything from the RDs in the States concerning information we need in order to make decisions on future personnel. This is why they have gotten no decisions back from us. And they got a photograph, you know. The post office. 15 million letters jammed in the post office, undelivered. Communication problems? Howie, how would you like an illustration of a communication problem? You have burdens tonight? Physical? Emotional? Communications? What are we going to do? How are we going to obey Galatians 6:2? It says, bear one another's burdens. How are we going to do that? Let me tell you four things to do this week and four things to don't. Four things to do. Be a good listener. Be a good listener. Be available, open, approachable, sensitive. Don't just turn on your uh-huh. You know, sit on a breakfast and say, well, now we'll set the uh-huh at this speed. You know. And while he's talking, every 15 seconds you go, uh-huh. Unless he's talking fast, you run it up to 10 seconds. Be a good listener. Secondly, be honestly prayerful. If you don't plan to pray, don't say, well, man, I'll pray for that. No sense walking around with a big lie hanging over your head all week, telling somebody you were going to pray when you didn't pray. Be honestly prayerful. If you don't feel led to pray, don't say anything. Or say, I don't feel led to pray. It's no problem. Be honestly prayerful. The third thing is give scriptural counsel if asked. Underline those last two words. Give scriptural counsel if asked. And fourthly, offer to help if it seems appropriate. Offer to help if it seems appropriate. Be involved. Paul gathered a bundle of sticks. Why? They were cold. They needed a fire. It was appropriate for the Apostle Paul to gather firewood. Be involved if it's appropriate. Good listener, honestly prayerful. Give scriptural counsel if asked. Offer to help if it seems appropriate. That's how you obey Galatians 6:2. Now let me tell you four things not to do this week. Four don'ts. Four things that will destroy Galatians 6:2. Bearing one another's burdens. Number one, don't be nosy. What we don't need is 300 more fundamentalist snoops around here. This is not a CIA convention. Yeah, what's your burden, huh? Come on out with it. Secondly, don't compare problems. Well, now let's see. That seems to me to be about 7 on the Richter scale. Golly, I had breakfast with a guy that had a much bigger problem than that. Do not compare problems. Thirdly, don't envy the person who doesn't seem to have a problem. Well, Joe, how are you doing? Oh, great! Wonderful year. Man, we had more converts this year than ever before. People in Bible study, scripture memory, never better. I'm running 5 miles a day. I've got my weight down. You know, we're up to budget. What happened? Shut up, you rat. Don't envy the person. And I told John Ed I was going to use him as an illustration tonight. A couple of years ago, John invited me to speak at a conference of midshipmen back on the East Coast. And one evening he gave his testimony and before I spoke, John Ed did, and made a tremendous impact. I don't know if I've ever thanked you, John Ed. I will now publicly. Of an area that God wanted John Ed to surrender was his sense of justice, his sense of fairness. And you and I are going to be fellowshipping with one another this week. And here's so-and-so, and that was a great year, and blessing, and finances, and fruit, and evangelism, and disciples, and leadership, and public relations. And down in our hearts, that's not fair. I've been in the work longer than he has. Envy. And the thing that God wants you and me to surrender, gang, is our sense of justice, our sense of fairness. That's not right. Yes, it is. God is just. Surrender. Open up. You and I have a sense of what we think is right. God also has a sense of what he thinks is right. No envy. Surrender. And then the fourth, don't. Don't feel guilty if you don't have any burdens, any problems. Don't feel guilty. Don't spend the whole week faking a problem. Just so you'll have something to say to some guy who says, hey, what's your big concern these days? You lay this big fake problem on him. Bunch of religious hypochondriacs running around here. If you don't have any burdens, don't have any burdens. Don't feel guilty about it. Be patient. Tomorrow you'll get it in the neck. You know. But enjoy today. Enjoy today. Your turn will come. Relax. Don't be nosy. Don't compare problems. Don't envy the person who doesn't seem to have any. Don't feel guilty if you don't have any. Bear one another's burdens. Be a good listener. Be honestly prayerful. Share the word if you're asked. Offer help if it seems appropriate. A load-lifting spirit. A forgiving spirit. A load-lifting spirit. And lastly, a joyful spirit. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Joy is not only a fruit of the Spirit, gang, it's an act of the will. Joy is an act of the will. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine should. And it's, you know, however that verse goes. It is ungodly, it is inhuman to be lighthearted in the presence of sorrow, sin. No question about that. It is also ungodly and inhuman to carry the burdens of the whole human race on my shoulders or yours. And if we're carrying a burden tonight that Jesus isn't asking us to carry, give it back to him. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. A joyful spirit. Rejoice in the Lord, always. And your joy will minister to others. We've got a lot of other needs. But that'll be a good start, won't it? A forgiving spirit. Because an unforgiving spirit will lead to resentment. And resentment will lead to bitterness. And bitterness will destroy us. A load-lifting spirit. At the breakfast table and on the occasions of informal fellowship, listening, praying, giving counsel, being involved. Then be joyful, rejoicing in Him, the one who loves us, the one who's filled us with His Spirit. And if we bring this kind of a spirit to the conference, then these next days are going to be absolutely fabulous, marvelous, wonderfully refreshing. So let's pause. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. And let's ask Him, by His Spirit, to give us these requests. Let's just have a quiet moment. And think about it. Do I need to ask Him for a forgiving spirit? I'm not suggesting, gang, we all need that. But if it's a need, and you know whether it's a need, then ask Him to do that for you. Or maybe a load-lifting spirit, bearing someone else's burden, and so fulfilling the law of Christ, the law of love. Maybe that's a need. If that's a need, ask Him. If you ask anything in My name, I will do it. Perhaps the need is a joyful spirit. If that's a need, you know it. Ask Him for it. Father, we thank You for the faithful word. You know the need of our hearts, Lord. And if in any one of these areas, or all three, there's a need in my life, the life of one of these beloved co-laborers, then just now, Father, we ask in Jesus' name that You'll give a forgiving spirit, a spirit of reconciliation, a spirit of love and acceptance, and a willingness to communicate that, to do what the Bible says, to reaffirm our love. And then to forget, Lord, and some of us have brought memories to this conference that just need to fade. We pray the Spirit of God will do His erasing work this week. And then, Lord, help us this week to be genuinely interested in one another. To be good listeners. And to be prayerful. And to share a thought from the Word. To be involved when it seems appropriate. And then give us a joyful spirit, Father, as we share with one another. As we receive from Your heart through Howie Hendricks and through Doug Sparks and through one another, cause us to rejoice. May that fruit of the Holy Spirit be evident in each of our lives this week. We dedicate our lives, Lord, in these next 10 days together to You for Your glory, to do as You will in us and through us. We give You thanks and praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen.